10 brothers show their father a multicolored garment stained with blood. "We found this," they said. "Do you know if it is your son's or not?" Well, of course, Jacob recognizes it as the garment he had made for Joseph. And so he concludes what his 10 sons hoped he would. "A wild beast has devoured Joseph." You and I know better. We know that the 10 brothers had stripped Joseph of that garment. We know that they sold him as a slave to a band of Ishmaelites. We know that they then killed a goat and dipped the garment in its blood before presenting it to their father. But all that Jacob knew, or thought he knew, was that Joseph, his beloved Joseph, was dead. And so he mourned and mourned and mourned. No matter who tried to comfort him, the scripture says he refused to be comforted. He even said, "I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Now, here's my question. Why was God silent? Why didn't God tell Jacob what had happened to Joseph? He could have, but he chose not to. On 4 previous occasions, God had appeared to Jacob and communicated specific information to him. When Jacob left home to go to Padan Aram to seek a wife, God appeared to him in a dream. Do you remember that ladder to heaven? God that night promised to bless Jacob. He promised him a land. He promised him innumerable descendants. He promised him that through his seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And then 20 years later, when Jacob left Padan Aram with his family and flocks and herds, God appeared to Jacob again. Remember that all-night wrestling match? God again blessed Jacob, although he left him that time with a limp. Sometime after that, God appeared to Jacob and said, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there." And so he did. And then sometime after that, God appeared to Jacob again, confirming his name change to Israel, and again promising him his blessing with the land and with innumerable descendants. So God had appeared previously to Jacob on 4 occasions to tell him about such things as how he would bless him, what his new name would be, where he was to live, and even to give him a permanent limp. So why didn't God appear to Jacob, when his 10 sons presented him with that bloodied garment? Why didn't God tell Jacob that his 10 sons had lied to him and deceived him? Why didn't God tell Jacob that Joseph was alive and well? Why did God allow Jacob to weep and mourn unconsolably. Now, it is true that eventually God did appear to Jacob, and at that time, God confirmed that Joseph was not only alive, but he was governor of Egypt. But do you know how long God allowed Jacob to mourn, thinking that Joseph was dead? 22 years. Why did God wait for 22 years to comfort Jacob? He could have informed him at any time of the actual situation. Why did God wait for 22 years? Well, we could speculate. We like to do that, don't we? As God did not inform Isaac when his son Jacob deceived him, so God did not inform Jacob when his sons deceived him. It's one possibility. Jacob, had he known that Joseph was alive, would probably have tried to find him, and perhaps would interfere with God's plans for Joseph. And then, of course, if Jacob had known the truth about what his sons had done, his relationship to those sons for a long period of time would have been very strained, to say the least. We could speculate, but speculation does not give us reliable answers. Thank you. We really don't want to lean too heavily on our speculations. May I tell you why God waited so long with Jacob? May I tell you why God sometimes waits so long to answer our prayers and lift our burdens? May we have the scripture. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted. Why did God wait for 22 years while Jacob mourned? That he might be gracious to Jacob, and that God himself would be exalted. Do you remember when Joseph revealed to his brothers that he, the governor of Egypt, was their brother, whom they had sold as a slave? And do you remember their reaction? They were speechless. They were so afraid that they were speechless. So Joseph comforted them and then said to them, God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Would you say that that was being gracious to Jacob and his family? To give them a posterity in the earth and to save their lives? I would say that's being gracious. Would you say that the wait was worth it? I would. Would you say then it when it was all over and they saw why God waited and they had the graciousness of God in the saving of their lives, would you not say with me that all glory be to God for what He has done? Therefore, the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you, and therefore He will be exalted. So, for 22 years, Jacob mourned, and God waited. Jacob may have felt abandoned by God during that time. He may have felt that God just didn't care about his grief during that time. Jacob may have felt that God was too busy with more important things during that time. I don't really know what Jacob thought during that time when God waited. But this I do know. God was not twiddling his thumbs for 22 years. He was actually busy working out his plan to be gracious to Jacob. Of course, Jacob knew nothing about that. Jacob was totally oblivious as to what God was doing for those 22 years. He had no idea that though God was silent to him, that God was actually working out the details of his plan to be gracious to him. You know, Joseph was a great kid when he arrived in Egypt, but his resume was pitifully inadequate. Oh, he could take care of a few sheep, but he was hardly qualified to run a great nation. And so God was working behind the scenes, directing the management training of Joseph. God saw to it that Joseph learned how to manage a household. And when he got that down pretty good, then God saw to it that he learned how to manage a prison. And when he got that down pretty good, God saw to it that he learned how to manage a nation. But management training takes time. And so that's one of the things God was doing while he waited to speak to Jacob. And God's hand was obvious in other ways as well. Who do you suppose gave those dreams to the butler and baker? Who do you suppose gave Joseph the ability to interpret those dreams? Who do you suppose gave that dream to Pharaoh about the fat and skinny cows? And who do you suppose gave Joseph the ability to answer that dream? And who do you suppose sent those 7 years of plenty? And who do you suppose sent that worldwide famine? God waited in silence while Jacob mourned. But all the time, God was busy working out the details so that at the end of the time, he might be gracious to Jacob and his family. We need to remember that. When we are waiting, when we are waiting for God, but while we're waiting, we're mourning because we have no concept of what God is doing behind the scenes. When we are mourning and waiting, God is not asleep. He's not unconcerned about our plight or our tears or our grief. He is working out his plan, oblivious to us, working out his plan as to how he's going to be gracious to us. We may not know what God is doing, but in our lives as well, while we're mourning and waiting, God is not twiddling his thumbs. He is busy. He is active. He is doing things. We don't know what he's doing, but he is doing things that he will be gracious to us, and therefore he will be exalted by us. As long as we are on the planet Earth, there will be times when we hurt. Our families may hurt us. Our friends may hurt us. Our fellow church members may hurt us. Our bodies may hurt us. Our economy may hurt us. The world may hurt us. We're going to hurt. And we're going to cry out to God, please remove the hurt. And sometimes he does right away. I like that, don't you? But sometimes he waits and waits and waits. When we hurt and God waits, cling to that verse. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to us. And therefore, he will be exalted. Can we trust him? Does he know about our pain? Does he care about our pain? Is he asleep? No, he has purposes in our pain. And one day we will see that only by his waiting can he be so gracious to us. And while we're at it, may I give you another promise of God? Applicable only for those who belong to Jesus Christ, but a precious promise of God. Isaiah 55:22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. When you're hurting, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. Sustain you. Doesn't say take away the burden. Says he'll sustain you. For it may not be time for God to remove the burden. It may not be time for God to be gracious to us yet. It may simply be time for God to wait. But it will always be time for God to sustain us. Always. Here's another great verse, also for Christians. Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Life is full of decisions. Some of them we grapple with not knowing what to do. So we ask the Lord, please show me what to do. but nothing happens. The heavens are silent. God does not direct us. He is just waiting. Why? We know why. Oh, we can, during that time, explore options. We can consider different possibilities. But when God is waiting, then we better wait. When we have a decision to make, and we don't know what to do, and we ask the Lord, and He waits, we better wait too, and not make any decisions, or we'll just mess things up. But when the time comes, when you have to know, when you have to make that decision, when the time comes, the Lord will show you what to do. He has promised to. I will instruct you and teach you in what you should do. I will guide you with my eye. When the time comes that you need to know, God will show you. If you don't know, then don't do anything. But when you need to know, He'll show you. My doctor said to me one day, "You're going to need a hip replacement." "Not yet, but someday." And so you know my question. "Doctor, how am I going to know when I'm going to need it?" His answer was, "You'll know." He didn't say how. He just said, "You'll know." If you ask the Lord for direction for a decision, and He waits, then you better wait. But when the time comes that you really need to know, you'll know. He'll show you. Don't ask me all the ways. He shows in different ways. He'll never show you anything contrary to the Word. But when the time comes that you ask your Savior, "What decision shall I make here? What shall I do?" When you need to know, you'll know. He'll tell you. By the way, I've only had part of the verse put on the wall. "Therefore the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you, and therefore He will be exalted." The verse ends with this phrase, "Blessed are those who wait for the Lord." So I know why God waits, before He tells me something, before He comforts me, before He lifts my burden, before He directs me. I know why He waits. And then God says, "Now you wait for Him. Blessed are they that wait for the Lord." We praise the Lord when He blesses us, when He lifts our burdens, when He directs our paths. We praise the Lord. What we need to learn is to praise the Lord when He waits to bless us, when He waits to lift our burdens, and when He waits to guide us. We need to learn to praise the Lord while He's waiting. For the day will come when He will stop waiting and when He will be gracious to us, and therefore He will be exalted. We need to learn from what David said in Psalm 18:30. "As for God, His way is," say it with me, "perfect." perfect. Whether he's waiting or whether he is answering, his way is perfect. Praise the Lord.